views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
You're looking for something, a new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as we shine the light on living.
Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping to lighten the load of life's challenges. Each show, we shine the spotlight on helpful techniques, mindsets, lifestyles, and inspiring stories to help you get through, not over, life's challenges. Today, we shine on the spine. I had to make that work. We are talking about the body, the physical self, how we are holding, like holding our bodies and moving our bodies, and the role spine health plays, not just in a physical sense, but in also all of our energy levels and the way we're thinking and how well we can think. And before I introduce our very caring and experienced guest, I'd like to share with you why thinking of my spine health was actually something right from being born in my world. Like, this is not something that I don't know that everybody kind of thinks of, but this is why I was super, super excited to reach out to Dr. Dave to join us. But so in amongst all my mother's numerous health conditions and diseases, she noticed when she was just like a young teenager, she often lost her balance when walking. She kind of, you know, swayed one way or the other. And then when she got a little bit older and she was a Dell telephone operator. And back in those days, you only have the one headset. You didn't use both ears. Like, we can switch or have both now. But one time she was switching ears and she realized that she couldn't hear out of one of her ears. And she, of course, thought, oh my goodness, I'm going deaf in one ear. So they went and started doing some tests. And what they discovered was that she, in fact, had scoliosis, which is a curvature of the spine. And it was to such a degree, like, first of all, that this was years now. And, you know, between the Balance Act and now the hearing loss, they decided back then to put something called the Harrington rod. So this was a Harrington rod procedure. This is literally a rod they put in people's backs. And this has come a long way now, just so everybody knows. And eventually after being, I can't remember now because she's passed on, but about 6 or 9 months in a body cast, that when she came out of that, they also fused. Like, meaning she cannot move this. Like, it is fused. It's about a third of her spine. So we were always, you know, my sister and I were always, we were grateful that she didn't have pain, because I guess that was what the result was back then, like, to do this. This was their idea of fixing it. I know it's come a long way now. The rod is flexible and stuff. But being a good mom, my mom always made sure that we had chiropractic care. And let me tell you, that woman took every opportunity she could to tell both my sister and I to sit up, sit up, sit up. And she even threatened, and I'm not even joking, she threatened to tape a board to us, to force us. So I am really appreciative of, you know, being conscious of my spine, because there's a lot of results I feel immediately from correcting it. But I'm hoping to, on this call, have Dr. Dave really share with us the things that we can do every day that will keep us in good health. You know, because I know all of you don't have a mom there telling you to constantly sit up and fix it, but it's more than that. So I do want to bring on one of the very knowledgeable and very caring, as I said earlier, a chiropractor and superb, tremendous help and counselor and all those other things, Dr. Dave, I'm going to say this right, Cuevaranta. How's that? Hello, Dave.
Hi, Lisa. That's awesome. You say it better than I do.
Oh, God, I had a little practice, man. No, well, thank you so, so much. And I would love for you to share just first, because I know I do a terrible job at introducing everybody, because you could probably best say what's your, like, why do you help people so much with the health of the spine?
Well, you know, Lisa, first let me thank you for having me here today. It's awesome. I love the idea of light on life. Too many people are living life too heavy, right? And certainly getting a little bit lighter in life is good. And I've had the pleasure for almost 20 years now helping people with their health and wellness concerns, either solutions to problems that they have or just trying to avoid those problems. And about a dozen years ago, we started a corporate health and wellness company to get out and prevent some of the problems we were seeing coming into our clinic, especially as it related to computer workers, because we were in a downtown urban area, and we were seeing the repercussions of this kind of lifestyle. And, that was chiropractic and posture go hand in hand, but certainly what's happened in the last 10 to 15 years is starting to escalate some of those posture concerns. So it's definitely something we focus on, and for tons of reasons.
You know, what's funny is I can't remember what show, a news show or something show, they're mentioning, they're actually titling this as a, I can't remember what kind of a disease, but, you know what I did? I saw it on Dragon Center, the Shark Tank or something. It's an iPhone disease or something. Like, it's literally from us children and us having our heads so forward. So I hear what you're saying about the computer, and now you've gone out and say, hey, we want to prevent this.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're coining phrases like text neck and a certain number of other things. And if you ever ride any kind of transit system, you'll see that instead of looking and talking to each other, we're definitely engaged in our own devices these days. And it's not so much the social aspect of it, although, you know, living light on life would argue that. But there's also definitely a health implication for looking down all the time.
Yes, actually, and then it comes to eye health. Okay, so here's one of my questions that I think about every day. If I could let everybody know all the things that the spine just isn't some bunch of bones that hold us upright. There's a lot going on in the spine. What would you think people would need to know about spine? Like, what would be your dream knowledge that people would know about the spine and why we do need to care for it and love it and treat it well and have it be in the right place?
Yeah, most people have an understanding of some of the major health problems in North America, whether it be heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and certainly the problems that come from being not our ideal body weight. And some of those things have been so ingrained in us, and we learn about it. But one of the things we don't learn about, and we're not born with a manual, and, unless someone in our family, like our mother, as in your story, came across some kind of challenge, we wouldn't learn about the spine and what it does and how it relates to our nervous system, because we don't see it every day and we don't necessarily think of it every day. But the greatest analogy might be with our teeth, because we can see our teeth, and we certainly don't like it when our teeth maybe don't look as nice as we'd like them to do, especially in our children. If they're not crooked, you know, we like to get them straightened, so we go and pursue orthodontics. And if they're not straight and we don't keep them clean, we end up with a cavity or gum disease, and we certainly don't like the pain of that. So it's a similar situation with the spine, except instead of just having pain or worrying about the aesthetics of it, because your spine houses your spinal cord, which is a direct extension of your brain, when it's not healthy, when it's not sitting and moving right, it certainly causes repercussions on the health and function of your nervous system, which is basically your master system. It controls and regulates everything in the body.
That is like probably the biggest, most important thing. Like, I just want everybody to really hear that. As you just said, the spine houses the spinal cord. That is your central nervous system. So even I know when I sit up straight, I immediately, and whether it's because I know it and I'm imagining it or it really is, you know, because I'm aware and I can feel it, I swear my brain just feels clear, calmer, more, whatever this situation calls for me to be at the time, I just feel like straightening up and allowing that flow of, I don't even know if that's what's going on, but it feels like that, like a blood flow perhaps or something, that my brain feels clearer, better. Is that possible? If we have bad posture, can it literally slow down or block some things getting to our brains that are supposed to be there?
Yeah, certainly. And so there's going to be a physical blockage that happens, certainly when our spine doesn't sit and move right. And let's just, if you're sitting in your chair now, if you're standing and you try to bend over and, bring your chest towards your knees or your hands towards your toes, and you try to take a really deep breath, that deep breath is going to be impeded by the physical position of the body. If you stand up tall again and try and take that deep breath, you're going to notice you're going to be able to take a much deeper breath. So there's varying degrees of that. As your posture starts to deteriorate mechanically, your chest and your lungs, they simply can't function the same way. Now, that's the chemical chemical, that's the physical ramification, but then there's also this neurological ramification. So your nervous system regulates not only your physical body and your muscles, but your organs, glands, and blood vessels. And if you can imagine there's an impedance to the flow of that energy you mentioned, or the signaling and the communication, then a lot of things can be affected across the board. So your energy, your focus, your sleep, and a lot of other conditions. It affects your digestion, your immune system, the function of the heart and lungs. Depending on where and how that poor posture is affecting the spine, you're going to have different ramifications.
Right, and that's a really cool thing that I love for the listeners who to maybe go, hey, that's me. Oh, that's me. And that's me, because I don't want to leave anybody out, because everybody has a spine and everybody, you know, could be experiencing different things and think it's not possible this or that. I have a question just in general. What about, I'm assuming it all does now, but eyesight. Can eyesight be affected by, was it more of a symptom that something's going on? How do you know the chicken or the egg here? How do we know when a symptom is actually from letting us know and it's causing us to maybe slouch or not slouch or hold our bodies in position, or it's that we aren't doing it and it's causing something?
Yeah, so there's a lot of chicken or the egg happening there, and the key answer to that, though, is it doesn't matter which came first. That your body's job on the planet is to interact with the environment. Basically, your nervous system's task is to adapt. And it needs to adapt to sound, it needs to adapt to light, and it needs to adapt to its physical surroundings. And the way the humans were designed in their optimal position is for optimal adaptation. When we start to mess with the mechanics or the structure of it, we're going to impair the function. So how something is built determines what it's designed to do. If you change how it's built, it's going to change ultimately what it was designed to do. And for us, as a survival mechanism, to be able to adapt, whether that's externally to our environment, but even internally to adapt and regulate and control and heal ourselves, there's going to be interference when things just aren't sitting or moving the way they were designed and created.
Right. Interference. Oh, I love that word right now, because it really is about this. Oh, you know what? There's that commercial. We'll sneak up. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talks on OM Time Radio.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
We're back and talking about spine health, and I just thought it was so, it's always funny when I specifically decided to talk about interference and then the commercial came on. But I love what you're saying about, it's just funny, I've grown up with my dad actually saying specifically, Lisa, your body, which is what you exactly said, was made to interact with the environment. And that's like, he said, it's meant to adapt and find new ways. However, I guess it's going to be a different answer, I'm sure, for everybody, but we will adapt. And so we'll kind of, you know, maybe slouch or move this way or do this thing or I don't know, sleep on the wrong mattress for a year or two. But how long will it take before we are actually damaging versus just adapting? Like, is there a fine line before we know that we're damaging versus adapting?
You know, so hurt, harm, damage, you're right. The definition, it depends how someone defines it. And then for every person, probably there's multiple factors at play. So in and of itself, this position will probably stack the cards against somebody from being able to have optimal health. How that's going to play out and what that's going to look and feel like is certainly different for everybody. And without the crystal ball, it's challenging to answer. But if we're looking at stacking the cards in someone's favor, then this is certainly something that we do want to address, right?
Right. Well, that's something I hear very often. In fact, my sister just went through this. She woke up and said, "Oh, I've been sleeping with this mattress that has an issue with it. I can't remember the issue." And she said, "It's been bugging my back. And then finally she just couldn't even get out of bed. Like she pulled her back or hurt her back, right? We can actually go through those definitions. But mattresses are a big thing. Everybody sleeps on one, needs them. There's so many different mattresses. How are pillow tops? Do we need them? Are certain people's weights an issue? Like, how do we know when the right mattress is really causing trouble, or we're just adjusting to know if it's a good sleep?
Yeah, the mattress one is a question we get all the time, and it's certainly something we could spend at least an hour on a separate show, but it certainly does relate to posture. So there's a number of key things. Maybe if there were three things that we really wanted to share with someone, if this was something that they were noticing as a concern, or they just wanted to know, like, what should I be on in terms of a mattress? The number one thing is that mattresses don't typically cause problems. There are people that sleep globally on a whole bunch of different surfaces, and they do not or will not necessarily have back problems or posture problems. But the challenge is that what we do during the day, even though we may not always feel it, creates wear and tear or effects on our spine, our nervous system, and on our health, that while we're sleeping, even though we're no longer engaged in those activities, this is the time when the body starts to let us know that something isn't right. Because, of course, sleep should be restful and of good quality and for a certain duration. And because, again, that's the way it was designed and created to be. So in seeking out a mattress, you still do want something that is good. Something too soft, for example, wouldn't be able to support your spine in a proper position. And something that's too hard, I don't know how often we've tried to sleep on the floor, but not always the most comfortable either. So we typically steer people onto something that's more firm instead of soft. And at the end of the day, though, our biggest recommendation to people and patients is that when they buy the mattress, that they definitely have some kind of return period where they can take it home, sleep on it, test it for comfort, and make sure it's a good fit for them. Because, again, so many body types, so many different shapes, that's why they make so many different mattresses, I think, is to try and accommodate as many people as possible.
Right. And it's funny because I actually am one to prefer more the floor, something very, you know, not pillow topping stuff. And I think in fact, as my spine health and my physical health became stronger or better, which I don't know the correct word there, but it's just in a better alignment for what my lifestyle needed, I found that I could sleep on literally the hard floor just because it didn't matter. Like what you said, it didn't matter. But when I did have an injury or kind of suffered or did something maybe I didn't want to do, I was really looking for something really more comforting and soft and squishy to kind of curl up into and get like a mattress hug. But that, I think that is so interesting, that what you said about it's the sleep is when we're finding out what our bodies are actually saying, like what did you do to me all day today and all that kind of stuff. Here's a big question. Why do we slouch? Why is it so easy to fall into slouch if we were made to be upright?
That's right. Well, you know, gravity is relentless. It doesn't give up. Uh-huh. It doesn't take a break. And, you know, unless we're aware and mindful and understand how we're interacting with our environment, we can very easily give in to that constant force. So with the mechanical industrial revolution and a lot of the tasks that we've done over time, and because of the way we're actually wired as a species, we're prone to some of this. So even if we looked at it, and again, we could talk about this in many different perspectives, but let's just look at one, our nervous system. Because we're very much wired for fight or flight, that when there's a situation and we need to act, our nervous system actually has more signaling ability to the front of our body from the middle back up. So we are in a stance or a position ready for that, you know, fight or flight situation. So that's more of the fight to the front. But when we look at the nervous system and the amount of signaling that happens from the mid back down, more of it goes to the posterior or the back of the body, which powers the muscles so that we can get the heck out of there when we need to. And that meets our fight or flight demand. The challenge these days is that we don't operate in a short-term fight or flight situation. Our stresses are no longer the tiger in the room that either we escape from and we get to rest, or we don't escape from and basically that's the end. Our stressors these days are more long-term. They don't disappear. And even though our body is wired to deal with that stress, it's not wired to deal with it for that long. So now this sets off a cascade of problems that includes our posture, believe it or not. It's tied into that. And it's a chicken or the egg. Your posture will affect that fight or flight and your mood and your psychological well-being, but also vice versa, that the stress can put someone into this. And it's human nature. When you're sad, you don't stand straight up. And when you win the lottery, you don't crumple over, right? It's the way we are wired. And if we feed into that wiring wrong, if our body doesn't have a chance to adapt properly, over time it will fail. And it's that timeline you talked about earlier. You know, if the stressor is big enough and it's powerful enough over a short period, it can create long-term effects. If it's a little bit, but it happens continuously over the years, it's going to have the same impact. So timeline is very important, and it's more about how well the body's functioning over that timeline than how it feels, because by the time you feel it happening, it's probably been there already for a while.
Oh my goodness. I'm so fascinated by that actually. And I'm just recalling last week I had clients much longer than I normally do. Cause usually, you know, I'm at home, I work from home and I'm talking with the cats and doing my own thing. But then I had, you know, multiple clients where I had to be face to face, and I feel like I, you know, my face has a posture, we'll call it, you know, it makes certain faces and it has a certain alertness. Like what you said, you sit up when you're excited and you crouch down when you're not. So I feel like my face had to be more awake and longer than it did. And when I came home, my face was tired. My face was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, when you laugh too hard or your smile, your cheeks and everything hurt. But that made me realize that every tiny little part in our body is affected. And I wondered about, and I'm bringing this up completely because you mentioned about moods and how we have to do what's natural to us. What about when we're eating? So for eating, there is a certain posture we need to have. There's room to breathe and digest and get the signals going, not to be running around, but to be focused on digestion. But then there's times where a lot of people drive and eat and they have to be more alert and not thinking. Does posture affect, like does eating affect and all that kind of stuff? Have you noticed that there's a connection of people driving and eating to having sore backs or anything?
You know, the more variables we throw together, the more challenging it may be to draw some kind of correlation. I'll tell you that, again, it comes down to the mindfulness. That more things we're engaged in at once, especially people, you know, these days, the catchphrase is multitasking, which they found is actually less efficient than just focusing on one task at a time. Your body is certainly the same way. Now, it's not that it can't handle those tasks, but usually the conscious task is the one that we're going to handle out the best, especially if it's a situation that has variables that's changing. But our subconscious can handle the stuff that we're very used to, that it's programmed to do and it's going to be the same and it doesn't have to make any decisions about any changes. So that's what we want to be careful about, because these habits and the positions that we do them in will create cues or triggers over time that our body ends up going back into that position. And that's why people don't even know that they're slouching or doing it wrong when they're typing or when they're eating or when they're driving, because that's become the new normal. And it becomes hardwired, not even consciously, but subconsciously. So now to be able to retrain that, we need to interrupt that pattern, restructure it, and reprogram it. And that can be done on the physical level, but also on the emotional or on the level of the psyche, for sure.
Oh, I love that you said that, because it really is. It's not just about, you know, when you go to the gym you can go to the gym and work out, but if you go to the gym and work out and really are committed and mindful and present, you get a better, like a more effective workout. And, oh, I'm going to check our little time. Oh, good, good. We have the 3 minutes for the commercial. I didn't want to have any interference there. I was going to say, would you first have someone come to you? First of all, A, is it generally because they are suffering in pain? Do you get more people coming to you in the injury state versus the prevention state?
You know, people are motivated by pain and they're motivated by pleasure. We would much rather see people because we want to keep them on the pleasure side. But unfortunately, human beings, being who they are, myself included, we most typically still see people when they're in pain, right?
When they're in pain. Okay. Now, is that a time? So I'm imagining somebody coming into you, they're in pain. What would be, is the first protocol that, okay, we're going to retrain, or do we, what is your first thing of protocols to walk them through this? Like, is it to stop the suffering and then move into retraining, or how does this happen?
Yeah, certainly clinically, we know that the body won't do a lot of healing when it's in a pain state. It's focused on getting out of the pain state. So clinically, we look at what can we do physiologically with the body to get rid of that pain response, so then we can focus on more of a corrective response. Unfortunately, in many modalities that are available to people out there, the dealing with the pain response is often seen as the entire treatment. So most people feel better, then they think, okay, they're back to normal, when typically that can often be far from the truth. So, but on the human side, we also want to meet people where they're at. I mean, people come in to see us because they're in pain, they want to get out of pain. So initially, yes, we're going to help them get out of pain. But somewhere in there, we're going to educate them and let them know that there's a different option here. That they should be aware of. Now, some people may or may not be into that option. Their lives are busy. They got lots of things on their to-do list. Quite often, the health falls lower on the list. But with some understanding, and most people do realize that maybe they've neglected some aspect of their health, their habits aren't the best, but they've just never been given any step-by-step process to improve it. Because most of the modalities out there, as I mentioned, are more focused on the pain or the quick fix or the Band-Aid solution, because we got to get back to life. But the long-term ramifications of living that lifestyle are why we run into a lot of the health problems we see in North America. So, you know, the biggest thing that we offer people in terms of value in the healthcare is to at least give them an idea that there is a different option for themselves to be able to pursue so that their outcome is different, a healthy one, a long-term one.
Okay. You know what? When we come back to the commercial, I have to highlight I'm expecting that. That's why I don't want to get cut off. Okay, I'm going to say it now. I really want to remind everybody or just highlight that very special point that, oh, see? Now everybody has to wait till we get back to commercial.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Every Tuesday on Living with Moxie, join Shefali Burns and Donna Martouge in conversations designed to take you to the next level, where we highlight ideas, resources, and strategies that provide you with the leverage you require to meet and exceed your business and personal goals. Each week on Living with Moxie, we will lead conversations related to success, achievement, fulfillment, and extraordinary, vibrant living. Are you ready to live with Moxie? Join us.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
With spine health, and I love cat commercials on here because they often remind me, I really believe that one of my biggest reasons how I keep my back and healthy is I have my two cats who I play with and walk with them and like them and jump around and move with them, and I really do believe that's helped me. Dr. Dave, I wanted to highlight, you had said something, and I think this touches in so many people's lives on different levels, but And I wrote this down. I can hardly remember because I wrote it so fast. I didn't want to interrupt you, my thinking of your thoughts here. That the body won't do healing when it is in pain. Its purpose at the moment is, how do I stop this pain? And a lot of people think, and I love that you said that, you know, then they get the healing phase kind of gets like slowed and rushed, and then they're back to life. I hear of so many people, and including myself, I believe I've had this issue. I'm not quite sure, but it's a sciatic nerve, and then I think when it's in trouble, we call it sciatica. Can you just please share with us, first of all, what that is, and what do we do? Is the time of when it's acting up, we'll call it, is that called in pain? So we shouldn't be trying to heal it? Like, I think a lot of people have that issue. So could you talk to us about sciatica, please?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, the sciatic nerve. And then as long as everything that is around that nerve and where that nerve travels from the lower back down the leg is sitting and moving right, that nerve should never have any interference. So nothing should be poking on it, pushing on it, pulling on it, scratching it. But sometimes, whether it's the bones or the cushions between the bones and the spine, the discs, if they're not sitting or moving right, or if they have significant wear and tear or they've deteriorated in some way, they can cause irritation to where the nerve is coming from the spine. And then anywhere along the way, you know, some people can get sciatica because one of the muscles in their pelvis, the piriformis, might not be functioning properly and putting pain on that same nerve and could be creating the same kinds of symptoms. So diagnosis is very important. And that's one of the mainstays of a healthcare, is to make sure you know. So you have sciatica, your sister-in-law had sciatica, and the guy down the street had sciatica, all have the same name, but three different people, three different causes, and one guy went to the gym, stretched it out, worked it out, worked on his core, he was fine after. The other two, he suggests go do the same thing. Meanwhile, one of them is not going to see any results, and in fact, the other one's going to get worse. So you definitely want to make sure you have someone assess that properly, because even if you did the same thing and got the same result, it may not have actually dealt with the cause or source of the problem. Again, it may have been a more of a temporary or band-aid solution, in which case it's just setting it up for future failure. And until that next time someone has sciatica, the problem can really progress over time. So, yeah, identification is really key, dealing with the cause or source, and then optimizing the function, not just optimizing how it feels, is a really good suggestion. You know, even, you know, cats and dogs, and the commercial reminded you, you know, when they get up from a nap or they're sleeping, they stretch. Yes. They don't get up and take off and run. No, they get up. And meanwhile, us as humans, we get up in the morning and it's the snooze, and, you know, we hit the alarm, we jump out of bed, we're late for work. Some of this same habitual patterning is what gets us into trouble. And then we think, oh, you know, fitness is good, and fitness is good. And you go to the gym and you're going to get the fitness benefit. But if your posture is bad and things aren't sitting or moving right, it doesn't make sense to a lot of people that you could actually be damaging those parts. But that's because function is very different than fitness. And I think there's a lot of clues or cues where people start to hear these stories and they start to realize, wow, you know, this does make a lot of sense. Maybe there's a different way I should be trying to take care of myself.
Yes, and I love that you said, first of all, I quickly imagine the cat getting out of bed and having coffee without stretching, which is hilarious vision in my mind, but you're so worried about the stretching. I was a teenager, and I was starting to get into fitness, and I was doing I'll call it weightlifting, because I wasn't weight training by any means. I was, you know, in the basement, and thought I was Miss She-Man, and was pumping these irons, but I hadn't prepared my shoulders or anything, and I really injured my shoulder, because my bicep could care, but my shoulder's like, what are you doing? You know, like the heaviest thing I wore was a sundress strap, you know? So I think that's really important what we're sharing, that if we're not, what would be a great stretch for people to do in the morning? Like, how long does this even take, if you could that's a good lesson or a tip to give us when we first wake up in the morning. What should we be doing? What would help us?
We have created a colleague of mine, and I've kind of piggybacked on it over the years. I've been in practice going on 20, and he's been almost going on 40. And he developed years ago this process, which is kind of like fast yoga or fast Tai Chi,
Ooh.
Where in a space of 90 seconds, you can put together a sequence or a series of movements that remind all your parts and your tissues that they're able to do what they're designed and created to do. So two, three or more times throughout the day in 90 seconds, you can very easily just flow through this little dance and remind all these parts that they can do more than just sit at the computer or more than just walk forward and back. Because a lot of what we do all day is linear, and we forget that our body is very dynamic in terms of 360-degree movement. And unless you're a salsa dancer, you're not really using that all day. So that in the morning is the, you know, the nicest way is just to get up, move gently, and do full ranges through as many joints as you can, but not holding them very long or forcing them to do more, but just getting them oiled, getting them moving, get your heart rate up a little bit, get your blood pressure up, get your breathing up a little bit. Yeah, so we engage people on that.
Where would I find this? Where, how do I get that 90-second?
You know, you could, if someone could easily create this for themselves. We kind of have a top-down approach that we've created with 21 different movements, and they're nothing unique. They're stretches that someone would normally do maybe after exercise, but they would hold them for a count of 10 or 15. What we've done is just chosen 21 of them, and we've tied them together back to back, and we ask people to engage in the process of memorizing it, so they really embrace it, and they are able to, at the computer during the day, stand up without having to look at anything and go through that routine in about 90 seconds just to take a break.
I love that. That's exactly what our body needs, and I love how you worded it, that you said these movements just remind our bodies of what it's almost like telling a child to say, you can do this. Like, it's reminding them and acknowledging and encouraging them to do, like, to hit their potential, not just keep it in this short, tiny little cell, you know, a box that it should only be doing.
Exactly.
This. Even right now, of course, all my hands, my arms are moving everywhere. This is probably not the time to be stretching. It's very inspiring. And I think that even when I'll be sitting on my, now I tend to work more on my cell phone than even the computer, which is horrible for me, because I'm noticing that my neck is really, like what you said earlier, I had to kind of chuckle, but only because I'm connecting to it, text neck. And I also find that it bothers my vision. And so I think that if those movements are, like you have put 21 different movements together, would you recommend that somebody goes through and listens to the body, feels like what they need kind of thing, or could they look up these 21 movements? Or
yeah, certainly someone could, if they've taken a yoga class and, you know, you're there for half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour, however long it is, you'll hold those poses. And, there might be a sequence of 20 poses in that class, but during the day, you're not going to necessarily take 20, 40, 60 minutes because, you know, life is busy. But at the same time, we want to get some kind of benefit. So instead of holding them that long, we would just tie them together and not rush through them, but just go from one to the other, so you create this flow, this pattern, like I said, like a dance. You kind of can smoothly go. And the interesting thing is that when this is done repeatedly, when someone internalizes this, they memorize it, and they engage in it regularly, it starts to become a new cue or a new trigger. You know, someone sits down at their computer on Monday morning and they let out this big sigh and they're like, okay, back to work. And it has a horrible physiological repercussion on them and their mind and their life. But the range of motion, this 21 movement or whatever protocol or movement pattern they put together for themselves, when they engage in it regularly throughout the day and they use it as a tool, it starts to become a new cue or a new trigger for something better. And it can revive, it can inspire, it can move them, because it's like this pattern interrupt. It gets them out of that situation and brings them to something better instantly. Especially if they do a yoga class and they create this accelerated form, it'll remind them of the good feeling they get from the yoga class, even without having to do the whole yoga class, because the body will reflexively go back into that state when it's done regularly.
I love that you said pattern interrupts. That is so important. I don't know if we all kind of, if we could be more mindful of how important a pattern interrupt really in our bodies and in how we're holding that physical self. When I go to seminars, you know, you're going to a lecture or you're at school, sometimes what the speaker will do is have everybody say, okay, everybody stop. We've had a lot on our minds and we've heard a lot, learned a lot. Let's get up, shake it out. You know how they say that and kind of just get you moving and speaking and breathing and moving in different ways. And I think that just reminded me of what you were saying then. It brought a big smile to my face because like that gets that face moving. What are your thoughts on yoga? Do you practice yoga? Like, is that something that you do or?
So, you know, I've been a middle long distance runner. I was very competitive back in high school and through undergrad. And then I did some coaching. And so I have a fitness routine for sure. And some other sports. I play hockey once a week. And, you know, I love yoga. I love the idea of yoga. I definitely encourage everybody to participate. And I know one day yoga will become a bigger part of who I am and what I do. But, you know, we all have to pick and choose what it is we enjoy and what we're going to do every day to keep ourselves healthy. So I have to tell you, Lisa, I've tried it, but you know, it just doesn't resonate with me right now. That doesn't mean I've given up on it. I'll try it again one day for sure.
Right. No. And actually, I love that you said about you being a long distance runner because I've often been back and forth on even thinking that I could even like running because I think, my goodness, it sounds like I don't believe I've ever run for real. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I've run in my life, but I always think, gosh, that must be so hard on the body. Like you're crashing down on it. And but this is, I mean, you would know of all people. So running isn't like if we're doing it properly, there's so many benefits then to running. This is not going to hurt our bodies.
Yeah. You know, I think we're approaching another break. And when you bring up running, this is something that I've loved to do for so long, even longer than I've been a chiropractor, that this could be opening a can of worms. But very, very simply, we definitely are designed to run as long as everything is sitting and moving right. And it will never cause a problem. But if something isn't sitting and moving right, running could definitely complicate it, just like our earlier going to the gym story that we shared, right?
Yes. Okay, and then that is actually great because we do come back from the commercial that, yes, let's talk about what we can do before getting into activity so that we are doing them right.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Alaya, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Back to the beauty of our spine and what it can do for us. I am really excited to, I just want to continue one more thing about the running, I guess running and walking and everything. Shoes. Oh, shoes. Okay. I have to put out this question because I am a barefoot person and I'm a barefoot person for a reason. All my life, I've actually really been uncomfortable in any kind of not my foot in itself. I don't like things on my toes. Like, I don't wear socks. I don't like those things. However, when I do wear shoes, well, first of all, the feeling of like just being imprisoned is horrible. But like, it's usually because when I was a child, I was getting cramps in my foot or nothing felt right. And I just wondered, how do people go about finding the right shoes? And should we be wearing shoes all day long, even in the house? Can you just share shoes and the spine with us?
So certainly. You know, we get a lot of our balance input, what they call a proprioceptive input for proprioception, from our feet. There's more nerve endings per square foot in the bottom of our feet than anywhere else in the body, except our fingertips and our lips. And there's just that much information required to keep us balanced. And, you know, there was a time when maybe our feet were designed to walk on soft surfaces, grass and sand. And when our foot and the arch went into the soft sand or grass, it would be supported and would work with it, create a spring-like effect. If we needed to go on harder surfaces, we'd be up on the ball of our foot. The challenge these days is we're not on a lot of soft surfaces. And maybe for a short period of time, our feet can handle not having any kind of cushioning, but it will affect them over time. So the job of a good shoe, and again, there's probably no generic recommendation, but other than to say the job of a good shoe is to recreate that soft surface or that environment that our foot is used to and functions at its best, is that soft, supportive surface. It's almost like the right mattress, not too soft, not too hard, but something that makes sense to keep your spine in line. Shoes are the same way, not too soft, not too hard, but just something that allows the foot to maintain its structure and function. So again, it comes down to that functional component.
I think you've actually just enlightened. I have an aha moment right now. This is incredible, actually, because, oh, wow. Thank you so much, because I struggle with this barefoot, because I'll go barefoot, but not on the environment I was intended to. I'll be walking on the concrete and the cement and the driveway and the stones, because I so will like do anything not to put shoes on. But it will hurt, you know, eventually I'll be tired, or my lower back will be a bit sore, or my legs will be a bit achy. And I think you've just said it perfectly. And I will choose a flip-flop, but there's only certain flip-flops, can't be hard and soft. So may I ask you then, you mentioned about, you know, the receptors, I believe you said receptors being on our foot, our fingertips and lips. Reflexology, is this something that is helpful as well, to help, just part of the recipe?
Certainly, yeah. So when we are able to, one of the best things about chiropractic care is the fact that it's still a hands-on therapy. You know, people are deprived of touch these days, and certainly now, even maybe more than ever, with our society and you know, how we're able to, or how it's understood that we should interact with others, there's less and less touch going on. And I think in Eastern modalities, there's a lot more understanding of the energy that we impart when we interact with other human beings and other living things, plants, animals, and each other. And these energy channels and these connections in the body, whether they be through acupuncture or through the nervous system or these reflex points, as they would use it, reflexology, are of immense value to us, because they can remove blocks or barriers that are keeping our body from being able to fully allow this energy to express itself. You know, like the name of the show, Life is Light. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that what it was?
Oh, Light on Living? Oh, on this show?
Oh, yes. Light on Living. Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, I wanted to turn it around that, you know, Light on Living and Living on Light, because this energy, this light has to be able to express itself, right? And reflexology and some of these other non-Western approaches to healthcare really help people to be able to express themselves, not just their energy, but their personality, their character, and better do what they were designed and created to do.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful. And funny enough, that is actually one of the biggest reasons I had to use the word light in the show title, because, and you're so correct. And I think that's the biggest thing. I do go barefoot, because I want to get the energy, and I do make the effort to go on grass and stuff. But reflexology, because I don't want to run out of time with this, I've written down, I love that you have this, there's a step of prevention, of course, and you mentioned how important it is to be properly assessed, and if there is a diagnosis to be made. What if somebody's starting from scratch, they're listening and they think, you know, I don't know what's going on. Maybe I'm great, maybe I'm not. What is their first step? What's the best first thing that they could do to improve, to either prevent or heal or do whatever they need to do?
Again, the awareness is huge. So people are talking a lot about mindfulness these days, and that plays out in many aspects of our life. And there are some factors that we all know about, and we may have a challenge implementing into our lives and our routines and our lifestyle. You know, we need to get enough sleep. We need to, of course, choose the right foods, get good nutrition into our bodies, into our cells.
Yay.
We need to breathe good air. We have to get out and do some fitness. We have to try and deal with our ability to think positive, deal with the stressors we have, because there will always be stress. It's a matter of how well we can try to learn how to manage them, perhaps. And then there's this component with, you know, what takes care of you? Your body does. And so your nervous system regulates that. And if with some awareness, you start doing all these things well, it's just a matter of sitting tall and standing tall. It's like our parents always bugged us. But maybe we just need to flip the association. Our parents probably bugged us because they didn't like how it looked. You know, we didn't look good when we went to visit the friends and relatives or neighbors. It didn't
right.
look good at the dinner table.
But
yeah, but instead of appearance, let's know that there's a significant correlation with our health and wellness through our nervous system. They know that not just back pain, neck pain, but also the lung capacity. It affects the blood pressure. Mm-hmm. It affects the jaw, the TMJ, you know, blood sugar regulation.
Yeah.
It affects your mood, your sleep. And there's a lot of thought that it even leads to depression. So people have some mindfulness and then just seek out some more information, get educated, hopefully they'll be inspired to include this posture component as a big part. There's an individual I just want to tie together with this, who's at the Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center, Alston Stubbs, who says that posture is probably the 800-pound gorilla when it comes to health and wellness. It seems so innocuous. It seems like not a big deal. It's just posture. But out of all the modifiable risk factors that we have that we could try to improve, you don't need to buy anything. You don't need to consume anything unique. Or
yes.
It's just awareness or mindfulness. And it could have such huge ramifications because of that nervous system component.
I am so glad that you said that. Anybody can do it. It's easy. It's free. You don't need anything in addition at the moment just for that. But I just know I think I've pulled myself up probably 8 times during this short period, and I do sit up straight. So the fact that I've even noticed that maybe I think I sit up straight and I don't actually, but I think I have to say, if everybody's listening, let me tell you though, when you do sit up straight, you do look probably 5 to 10 pounds lighter and younger and you feel happier. So that just makes you look better appearances for that factor. But yes. Oh, and I don't want to run out of time to ask you something that's hugely important. A lot of people going to the gym or just even at their home, and they're focusing on abs, ab crunches, abdominal workout, ab this. How important, please share with us all, I hope I'm right, is it to strengthen and work on the back as much or close as much or not as much?
Yeah, you're because of, again, the wiring and how we talked about the distribution to the front from the mid back up and the nerve more supply from the mid back down to the back, the abdominals are actually a good place to focus. So doing those crunches, not necessarily full sit-ups, they might be hard on the spine.
Okay.
There's a lot of talk about core these days, and there's some value to that, but it's very rare clinically that I've ever seen anyone with a true weak core. They may have some muscles that aren't working together well, and they just need to be brought back into some unison.
Oh.
But that's easily accomplished by going out and doing some activity you enjoy. But definitely abdominal work is good. You just want to make sure you don't have any back problems that could also be aggravated by working on those abdominals. And then that you don't strain your neck while you're doing those abdominal exercises,
yes.
because that could be feeding into the poor posture then. So again, it comes down to technique, whether you're running, whether you're skateboarding, whether you're playing hockey or you're going to the gym, or you're just being aware of your posture. Because we weren't born with a manual, it's good to seek out some guidance as to what the proper technique is with all of these things, including office ergonomics and sitting at your computer. Because if you don't have a place to start from, you won't know how good or bad you actually are.
Right, exactly. Now, do you offer any resources that we can go to your site or something to find out from you specifically? If anybody wants to, you know, read something that you've shared or hear another an interview that you've done perhaps or something, can you direct us to where we would go to learn more about that? And you?
Yes, certainly we have some good posts on our Facebook page at David Coy Varenta Chiropractic. You can definitely find
me
there.
I'll put the link on my page too.
Yeah, feel free. And they can also go to our website. We have a blog there with some information. It's at dkchiro, dkchiro.com. And then for those people in the corporate world who are at a computer, we have a corporate health and wellness company called Time Health Management. And that's exactly the website too, timehealthmanagement.com. So those are three good places to start.
That.
And people are definitely welcome to reach out to me by email and ask any questions they may have. I'd be happy to respond.
Oh, I'm so excited to go to the timehealthmanagement.com site because, you know, an office is just in my home just as much as there. There's so much flowing through my mind about what you've shared, and I don't think I've taken so many notes on a call ever before. So this has been hugely, it's so accessible. And as you said, none of us have a manual about this, but it's so, like I said, accessible to find out what's going on in our own lives, listening to our bodies and being mindful. And please, everybody, I'm going to put the link to David. I'm going to say it again, Coy Varenta, yes, almost. I think I said it better at the beginning. Or dkchiro.com, which is a little easier, and timehealthmanagement.com. And anybody who thinks that their whole workforce could benefit from this and you want to bring it in so it's easier and more fun to do it as a group. And so get everybody involved and share with everybody that back and spine and healthcare and body. And as we just said, feet, thank you so much for solving my little curious interest question about my feet and shoes themselves. That was amazing. But I'm gonna do. Yeah, thank you so much. Healthy feet are happy feet and happy Lisa. But just so happy that we shared this time, and I can't wait to do the recap for everybody. And I hope everybody learns a little bit more about their spines and health. Thank you, Dr. Dave, so much.
My pleasure.